There's a new authority in town, and the new authority that we're referring to is the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, SAHPRA. This authority replaces the Medicines Control Council, and they will be tasked with an extended mandate, I should say, more than what the Medicines Control Council had the responsibility previously. So medical devices will now be regulated in South Africa with the newly established regulatory body. That's the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, and it replaces the MCC. This has been long coming, as laws were changed and amended in 2015. Until now, medical devices and complementary medicines have gone unregulated, as the MCC could only deal with medicine. So there was a gap. A gap was laid bare over the years, and this became evident when the Tara clamp, which is a device used in medical circumcisions, split medical opinion a couple of years ago following its application in KwaZulu-Natal. So South Africa has the largest medical device market and manufactures a range of devices, although it is primarily reliant on imports coming from Germany and the US. So there is a gap that this new organization can certainly fill. Now, the existence of this organization has been much talked about over the years. But on the 9th of October this year, the Minister of Health, Aaron Motsoaledi, published the names of the 15 members of the board of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. And in terms of the law, which was amended in 2008 and then in 2015, this comes into effect when the board has been set up, and once they meet, the MCC will no longer exist. So joining us on the line is the newly appointed chairperson of SAHPRA, and that is Professor Helen Rees. She joins us now just to look at what it is that SAHPRA will be doing. Some believe that it will usher in a new and much more effective era for the local pharmaceutical sector. Good afternoon, Prof. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
There's great excitement or great anticipation around what SAHPRA will do in the pharmaceutical sector in South Africa. So the legal amendments were made, replacing SAHPRA with the Medicines Control Council. So what are some of the improvements? Please take us through what you've been mandated with and the extensions to this mandate.
So many people will have heard of the Medicines Control Council, and it's been since 1965 that legislation was in place. Mm. And it was tasked with making sure that the medicines in the country are of a high quality, and that they're safe and effective, and that clinical trials are properly undertaken. And it had done a pretty good job for the country for many, many years, but it was recognized that that legislation was now out of date. And also having a regulatory authority placed within the Department of Health was not the optimal setting for an independent authority. So that's why SAHPRA was set up. And as you said, it will extend the current MCC's mandate. Mm-hmm. It'll have a much bigger reach into complementary medicines, medical devices, diagnostics in particular.
Wow. Right. So that you talk about independence, and that MCC was within the Department of Health. Does this mean that we are, it's going to be a model that's very similar to the FDA, the US Food and Drug Administration, which is independent, and also extends to other products outside of medicine, but that are related to healthcare?
So in fact, the MCC, the council itself has always been independent and has given the minister independent advice. That's always what you want from a drug regulatory authority, to be able to apply their minds without any pressure from the industry, from community, from politicians. You need to give the best possible advice you can based on evidence. So the council itself was independent, but the secretariat that supported the council was part of also the Department of Health. So this is now going to be moved into a more independent structure that will run itself, but will still be accountable to the Minister of Health.
Yes, but there were also some responsibilities that resided with the minister. So are those decisions now being left to SAHPRA to make, certain decisions that were previously made by the Minister of Health?
I think that I'm not sure which decisions you were thinking about there that the minister might be taking. The minister would always have, you know, in an extreme situation, has always had the power and will continue to have the power in an emergency, for example, to empower importation of drugs for an emergency situation. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the minister works through the regulatory authority.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for the funding then? Is the funding going to come strictly from the Department of Health, or will it also be coming from other sources?
I think in the longer term, an ideal situation would be that the authority could be self-sustaining, but we're quite far from that at the moment. We do charge fees at the moment, so if a drug company applies for registration of a product, they pay a fee to the regulator to have that process delivered for them. And the same for a clinical trial, etc. So there are fees that are already paid, but that will be reviewed. And we'll look at competitive fees, and alongside those fees, we've got to make sure that the new structure also delivers to the people who are asking for its services.
Absolutely. Over the years, we've also have been reading or seen reports of backlogs of products, that there are products or applications that were waiting for denial or approval. So how will this be handled? What is the state of this backlog?
Yes, this has been a tremendous challenge for the MCC for many years. And one of the challenges is the numbers of generic products. Mm-hmm. But the other problem, and this is where I think SAHPRA will improve on the current way of doing business under the MCC, was that we had a very competent secretariat, but of a limited size. Mm-hmm. So we're very dependent under the MCC on external academics to do this sort of review of these applications. And just like everything else in life, some people were wonderfully efficient and some people were less efficient. Mm-hmm. But being dependent on the goodwill and of independent experts outside isn't ideal. So with SAHPRA, what we want to do is to build up the expertise and the numbers of people within the secretariat who can actually do the routine work themselves. We'll still be using external experts because many of the things that a regulator looks at, some of the things certainly can be quite complicated, and you need, you know, the country's best experts to apply their minds to decisions. Mm-hmm. But we really want to build up the internal capacity so that we can have better ways to deal with applications. Yeah. The other thing that we're going to do, which is very much the thinking in the world today, is that we're not going to just work as an isolated regulator. Mm. Nowadays, regulatory authorities across the world are talking more and more to each other, exchanging information, exchanging reviews. And that's the kind of thing that we would like to align with. So that if you've got reviews that have been well done by competent authorities, that we can share that and we can share our reviews with them, obviously within the law. And that will also speed things up.
Yes, because there were delays that were talked about of up to 4 to 5 years just waiting for these approval times, that could often hamstring different companies that want to introduce new products into the market. So you're saying this is likely to be speeded up?
It has to be. I think that everyone would agree that that's just not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And it's counter to the public good, because if these are medicines we need to get out there, for example, if we need to get generics out into the marketplace to get competitive prices, we need to do that quickly. Mm-hmm. We have had very, very large numbers, particularly generic medicines in terms of applications, which has contributed to this backlog. But certainly there's a very serious attempt now to look at all sorts of different strategies to deal with this backlog.
Right. So when it comes to public interest, they, you know, from time to time, you'll have these bursts of reports around a particular product that's perhaps being sold or that's had to be withdrawn from the shelves for some or other reason. What is the public interest mandate? How are you going to ensure that whatever the public uses is of sound quality and efficacy and has the approval of SAHPRA?
Well, part of the role of a regulatory authority is to make sure that the medicines on the shelves are safe and are registered, if they are in the categories that need to be registered, that they are registered with the authority. And we have, so we depend on the public reporting things that are not right, but we also have an inspectorate mm-hmm. that whose job it is to go out and actually make sure that things are properly done. And I must say that one of the things that I think in South Africa we can be quite proud of is that we have actually got we've had a very, very good system for drug regulation. Even unlike other countries in the region where, for example, counterfeit medicines are common and drugs are sold over the counter that shouldn't be, we really have a pretty tight ship. And by and large, I think that we can say that the medicines that are sold are safe and are licensed if they should be.
Right.
And well manufactured.
Yes. So part of the work that SAHPRA will be doing is also providing guidelines around the production of certain medicines. There will be requirements that are expected from manufacturers. And in the complementary medicine space, how prohibitive will it be? Because you often have smaller companies perhaps wanting to put a product out and their budgets might not necessarily be the same as the large pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, well, in the complementary medicine space, I mean, for some years, in fact, the Medicines Control Council as well has recognized complementary medicines. Mm. Because we recognize that in the use of medicines, people have different preferences and different frameworks and different beliefs. Mm. So what we've done is that we've recognized traditional medicines and approaches to prescribing that have been in the marketplace for years, things like homeopathy, Ayurveda, Chinese medicines, and so on, things that have got pharmacopoeias, have got a tradition and a framework. Mm. So we are looking to register those within those frameworks. However, if somebody comes along and says, I've got a new herb and this is going to cure your diabetes, then we're going to be extremely careful, because that's then making the claim of allopathic medicine, the sort of medicine that you would get usually from something like your GP or your clinic.
Yes.
As soon as you make those claims, you are really going to have to provide the same level of evidence as you would for the standard medicines that many people take.
Hmm. But at this point, the requirements are similar between conventional Western medicine and complementary medicines.
No. If the complementary medicine falls within one of these recognized frameworks, then as long as they fall within that framework, mm-hmm. then we have very high levels of we inspect and make sure that the quality is there,
yes.
And certainly we will ensure that safety. So you can't suddenly make up a medicine and put all sorts of things into it and just say, I think it's complementary and therefore it doesn't have to be licensed in the same way. So these medicines are licensed, but they're licensed within the criteria that we are applying to that particular complementary medicine.
Right.
But as I say, if somebody came along today and made something in their garage and said, I think I'm going to sell this and say I can cure AIDS, that will not be permitted.
Yes, I remember not too long ago, there were questions around cannabis oil, for instance, and that the MCC was looking at guidelines, specific guidelines for manufacturers in the interest of the public, of course. So is that an example of what you've just described?
You know, I think that it's very important. Nothing is static in this world, and medicine is the same. And as you know, there are many, many claims out there for cannabis oil, mm. And lots of reports of people using it in many different settings, including to alleviate some of the symptoms for example, in cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
So what the MCC has done, like many other countries, is to say, well, we need to understand better if the kind of claims we're hearing actually work. So we've created a framework so that cannabis can be grown and manufactured and clinical trials can take place. And just in parallel to this, the Medical Research Council in the country is also interested in looking at clinical trials. The important thing would be that if, for example, cannabis oil does have a therapeutic effect, it mm-hmm. would be important to do a clinical trial to show that it works for that particular claim, but also to standardize it.
Mm.
Because what you don't want is people, and I've heard some some bad stories about this. You don't want people just putting any kind of oil with any kind of ingredient into a bottle, selling it at a high price into the market and making claims for something that could be unsafe and might not give the effect that the person who's buying it thinks that they're going to get from it.
Right. I've got a tweet from Dr. Tlaleng. She says, please ask Professor Helen Rees to speed up things on generic abortion drugs. Do you have any feedback for her?
I don't know whether there is a particular problem there. I do know that in one country, the manufacturer of one of the abortion medicines, which is called misoprostol, I think it's Pfizer as a manufacturer, but I could be wrong on that, is wanting to withdraw that product from the marketplace. So it might be that she's referring to that, and I think that is something that the Department of Health is looking into at the moment.
Right. What is the expected impact, Professor, on the local pharmaceutical sector? Not too long ago, we looked at a report that said that sub-Saharan Africa ranked the least attractive region to commercialize medical devices. So will the existence of SAHPRA and this extended mandate make it possible for us perhaps to improve on this attractiveness level, perhaps even manufacture increasingly in our own region so that we can drive down prices? Not too long ago, there were concerns around the high price of cancer medicines particularly. Will the existence of SAHPRA help to make inroads on the cost of medicines, but also impact the local pharmaceutical industry, help to improve it?
You know, it certainly this will be one of the objectives, because part of what is the role of a regulatory authority is about getting the community, ultimately getting the community access to medicines. Mm-hmm. So if we are going to, and there is a lot of interest in developing manufacturing facilities and expanding them in the region and in South Africa. So it would be the role of the regulatory authority to make sure that we support the regulatory framework that would allow and enable that to happen. And as we said before, to get rid of delays, because delays, as you say, have an impact on the commercial market.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens, because after the minister announced the 15-member board for SAHPRA, and of course, congratulations to you for being the chairperson of this particular board. So 15 people. And then what about the staff of the MCCC, and when does SAHPRA take over these functions?
So the staff of the MCC, as I said, are currently employed by the Department of Health. So there's been a whole process conducted by the Department of Health to transfer staff who want to be transferred across into SAHPRA. And of course, that would be first prize for everyone. So that process is being carefully undertaken by the health department. Mm-hmm. Those staff are highly skilled and will be critical to the success of SAHPRA.
And SAHPRA will come into existence when?
SAHPRA will come into existence with the first meeting of the board. So at that point, MCC will dissolve and SAHPRA will take over.
Any sense of when that will be?
Well, we're planning that now, and in fact, I have a meeting this week to plan those dates. I think at the moment, we anticipate there will be one more meeting of the Medicines Control Council this year. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we would probably then in the new year transform into SAHPRA. But the exact dates, it's going to be a matter of months, not years or anything like that. So it'll right. probably be in the beginning of next year, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us and just explaining further about this new body and the hopes that surround its mandate and what it will do to help transform the health sector in South Africa.
That's a pleasure. And please come back to me anytime if you have questions.
Absolutely. That's Professor Helen Rees, the Executive Director of the WITS Reproductive Health and HIV Institute. But she's also been appointed to be the chairperson for SAHPRA. That's the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. And let's see what they manage to do, because previously the MCC had a limited mandate, and now that's been extended. They will now look at other products in the market as far as healthcare is concerned, particularly the inclusion of complementary medicines and medical devices and a whole lot more. But there's great hope and anticipation. Hopefully it'll be this super slick computerized service that different pharmacies can come to, different developers can come to, so that we can have our own locally grown products to help bring down prices, hopefully, for our medicines in South Africa. So that's SAHPRA, the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority.